This is PhotoBizX episode number 321. And today we're talking general photography business and how you can build a more successful business yourself. The focus is on wedding and portraits, but I'm leaning towards portraits, print sales, and generally making more money with your photography business. Our special guest is Ali Ciato, and that interview is coming up in just a minute.
Hola y bienvenido to the PhotoBizX podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich. This episode is coming to you from the tiny country of Andorra, surrounded by France and Spain. Andorra is nestled in a long valley between snow-capped mountains and beautiful scenery.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. I am currently coming to you from Andorra, which is a tiny little country bordered by both Spain and France. It's basically one long valley that splits into a couple of smaller valleys surrounded by mountains. And when I say mountains, these are serious mountains. We've had a few fantastic days here riding up each of, or as many of the mountains as we can find. But today we've woken to the first bit of wet weather on the holiday. So we're taking a break. The rest of the crew are out shopping and I decided to stay back and talk to you to get today's or this week's podcast out to you. So we're going to get straight into things because we have a lot to get through. And I know you're going to love this interview with Ali Ciato coming up in just a second.
And now a macro look at the last episode.
In last week's episode, I interviewed Julie Muir and that was a little drift from the usual because Julie is a wedding celebrant and the reports coming in since her interview have been fantastic. And what I loved about Julie's approach to generating business, to finding her ideal clients, to communicating with her clients is she's using so many strategies and ideas and tactics that I have not heard on the podcast before after interviewing over 300 other guests. So if you haven't heard that interview with Julie, I know that you will absolutely love what she had to share. And if I had to pick one thing, well, yeah, it's so difficult to pick one thing that she shared that I really love. But I think, look, if I had to really pick one thing, is the way that she builds rapport and likability with other vendors on the day of a wedding. Very, very cool what she does. I know what she shares will work for you no matter what you shoot. Get back and have a listen to Julie if you haven't heard that one. And since recording that interview, I've had a number of messages and emails saying, hey, Andrew, you've got to look for more people to interview outside the photography industry. So I plan to do that. And like always, if you have a suggestion for a guest who you think will benefit you and your business and other listeners to the podcast, then by all means, shoot me an email, let me know, and I would be happy to look into that.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
Okay, just before we jump into today's interview with Ali Ciato, if you are hearing this announcement, it does mean you are listening to the free podcast episode. So just a quick heads up, I am only going to be serving you half the interview with Ali today. I do save the second half of the interview for premium members only. So if you're loving what you hear from Ali in the first half of the interview and you want to hear the best content, because that's what I say for premium members, that's usually when guests like Ali tend to relax a little and start giving so much more. So if you want to hear the full interview, grab a $1 trial membership. You can get that over at photobizx.com/try. And with that $1 trial membership, you get treated exactly the same as a fully paid premium member for that 30 days. And you get to see what the membership is all about. photobizx.com/try to check all that out and hear the full interview today with Ali.
Welcome to another great day for business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest is immersed in business, marketing, and photography. With a background in public relations, she is now a wedding, portrait, branding, and lifestyle photographer from East Lansing, Michigan, where she runs a multi-photographer studio. From what I can see, she's all about selling products and wall art to her clients, which feature heavily on her beautiful website and her Instagram account. She's also the host of the Photo Field Notes podcast, where she focuses on business growth by interviewing other successful photographers. She's a leader in the Rising Tide Society, which is a group that brings local creative entrepreneurs together to promote community over competition. She's also released a brand new app to help photographers sell more through in-person sales. I'm talking about Ali Ciato, and I'm rapt to have her with us now. Ali, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Like, it's my pleasure. Look, when I read through that intro, I'm thinking, how do you have time to do all this? Plus, you have a husband and two kids at home as well.
Right? Yeah.
How do you do it?
And the funny thing is also, I only work 3 days a week in the office because my daughters are 5 years old and 3 years old. So I've always had this funny kind of mom guilt going back and forth with my schedule where, you know, I'm photographing weddings a lot of weekends, not all weekends. I've gotten a lot better about saying no to some weekends and having more balance. And I have a lot of evening sessions, but again, not all. I've gotten better about balance, but I was working 5 days a week and, you know, of course, paying for daycare 5 days a week and then working on some weekends. And I realized it was too much. I wanted to spend more time home and have some balance with my three-year-old who's not in school yet. And so I switched my schedule to be 3 days a week in the office and then, you know, roughly like a wedding during the summer and evenings. And then winter, of course, here in Michigan, you'll get the odd winter wedding, but generally it's very cold and there's not a lot going on, which I actually love. That's my time to catch up. So in part, what I do is I spend my winters setting everything up for the year and really automating a lot of things. So down to the fact that a month before every single wedding, I have already pre-scheduled every single email to go out to every single couple for the year. So a month before each wedding, they're getting an email that's personalized to them, that's sending them a questionnaire that they're going to fill out. They're getting an automated invoice that's coming over to them. After they fill out the questionnaire, that kind of kicks off my process. So I haven't done anything except set it up during my slow time so that they're getting all of that during my busy time and I don't have to think about it. So as much as I can possibly automate, I automate, and that makes life so much easier. Even my wedding, I just kind of changed this, and I'm always experimenting with things, but when a wedding client inquires, actually wedding and portrait, but I just switched it to where a wedding client inquires, they actually go directly to a video. And that video covers everything that really briefly, just kind of overview of everything that I would put in an email. It walks them through the basic experience. It gives them pricing in the same way that I would present it to them if I was there in person. So I'm just doing a lot with videos and automation and as much as I can with making my business run without me having to run it every single second, every single manual little thing.
Nice. So with that video intro where you go through pricing and that introduction, is that just on a hidden page on your website or are you using some kind of software to do that?
Exactly. Yeah, it's on a hidden page. So I use 17 Hats for my contact form. And when they fill out the contact form, I can have it automatically bump to a new page. So it automatically sends them to a hidden page that has this video on it. And I used Loom to record it. It's free recording software. So you can actually have in the video, I say, hey, scroll over this video and you'll see a link to schedule a meeting with me. And so Loom lets you do all that. And they have, you know, you can do a free basic setup. And there's a ton of different tools that you can use for that. But yeah, it's a hidden page. And then they also get an email that essentially just says, go back to this hidden page in case they missed it. So the email also directs them there. So that's pretty much it for that part. I mean, it's a pretty simple setup. I mean, obviously 17 Hats, if you haven't used a client management system, any client management system that you log into for the first time, you're going to be absolutely horrified at how complicated it seems. But once you get into the flow and really pick one and commit to it and learn it, it's so powerful and it's so worth it.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, there's so many different options out there. How did you settle on 17 Hats? Did you try a few things or you just said, I'm going to go with this?
I think I've had it for years at this point. I think I ultimately picked it because they had some kind of Black Friday sale. As we Americans like our Thanksgiving and then after holiday sales. So they had a big Black Friday sale and I got it for half off. And I think I bought like 5 years worth of it because it was so cheap. And I was just like, I've got to do this. And it changed my business overnight. It completely literally changed my life to have a system in place where I can schedule emails. I can manage invoices all in one place. Just having a system like that if you're doing any kind of real quantity in terms of clients, it's a life changer.
Sure. And you mentioned that you send out a questionnaire via email to, I'm guessing it's your wedding clients, but I don't know if it's all clients. What kind of things are you asking in that questionnaire?
Well, it's funny you ask if it's all clients, because it used to only be wedding clients, and now it's both wedding and portrait clients. And I'll kind of give you the rundown on the differences. Wedding clients, I ask so many things. I ask them everything from, you know, the phone numbers and a backup phone number. That's really important to get, like a maid of honor or best man's phone number or a parent's phone number. I have them give me all the different details and addresses. I have them give me all of the different family photo combinations that they want. And I know some photographers have different feelings about family photo combinations, whether they should direct them or have their clients direct them. I feel strongly that I want my clients to come up with that list, because it's so different for everybody. And truly, it's so different for everyone. So I give them suggested combinations, and then I kind of give it free form. But the thing is, you can put a due date on the questionnaire. And so I have them turn it into me at least 2 weeks before the wedding. And so I've given them a lot of educational materials along the way to know that they shouldn't send me 100 family combinations. So I have an email series that I send out. I'm kind of going everywhere. This is like a long answer. That's
okay. So this is the education series now, the email series.
Yeah. So I have an email series that I send out. So when they book with me, it starts this email series. Once a week, they get a different email from me. And it's just little quick emails that give them tips. One of the emails is all about how to build your family photo list. And so they know that it takes about 5 minutes per grouping, that large groups for me just always seem to take 7 minutes. Very small groups might take 2 to 3 minutes. So they kind of know the math, and they come at me often even months before. They'll get that email from me. They'll start putting together their list, and they'll say, hey, I know this list is too long because you basically told me this based on the math. You told me it's too long. So I'm working on this. I'm going to cut it down, but let's talk about our schedule. Let's get it figured out. So I send them things like that ahead of time. I send them just details to build trust. Like, this is how I find my locations. This is the light that I'm looking for. And ever since I added that email in, like, this is how I'm looking for my location, I no longer have people questioning. I think I used to have them all come to me and say, well, what about this spot? What about this spot? And now they're just like, I trust you. I know you're going to do it. I know you can figure it out. I tell them what to do if it looks like it's going to rain in one email. And so now they don't even freak out. They just, like, I had a bride last week who was like, yeah, it's probably going to be raining on the wedding day. But that email made her feel so much better and so much more calm about it. So she was prepared. She had the umbrellas that I told her to have. She was ready for it. Luckily, it didn't rain at all. But okay, so that's side tangent. I'm completely lost where I'm going with this.
Because I really want to focus just quickly on the questionnaire, because when you said questionnaire, I'm thinking, are you looking for blog content for future posts, or are you actually just looking for details about the couple and the families?
Okay, yes. Back on track. Okay, so I am mostly looking for details to get through that day, but I'm also asking for all their vendors so that I can tag them when I do blog and when I do share online, so I know exactly who did the hair and who, you know, where they bought the dress. And that's huge, because when I tag them, all of those vendors start resharing and tagging me. And that's really great for, you know, getting out there on social media. And then at the end, I used to just say, hey, share your story. And it was very vague and people didn't know what to do with it. And now I say, do you have any interest in your wedding being featured? And they can say yes or no. And then I say, if yes, share details about your story. And I give them an opportunity to share their personal story so that I can then really easily take that and incorporate it both into my own blog post. And then also when I go to submit through twobrightlights.com to submit the wedding to get published, I have content for it. So I get basically yes to all of the above. I get everything. Now on the portrait side, I literally just started doing this. I just started doing a questionnaire. It's very basic. The reason I started doing it was because I had a client who I realized had slightly different expectations of what I was going to offer versus photographers she'd worked with in the past. Now, I try to be very clear that my photography style is very much based on interactivity, motion, prompts, you know, things that they say to each other to make them laugh. It's very natural. It's not very, I give them kind of basic positions to be in that will look good, but I'm not posing them and having them hold still and hold that pose for a long time. And I'm not a dramatic photographer. Like, I wouldn't describe myself as Vogue-like as some photographers do. I'm very kind of lighthearted. And this particular client had done some kind of more glamour photos before in a studio that were very posed, very opposite of what I do. And so she, in the end, it turned out, wanted many more photos looking at the camera and smiling than I did. And I did get some, but she expected kind of maybe all of them to be that way. And so I use the questionnaire as just that one final point to set expectations and really make sure that I'm asking my clients. So I say, I will take some photos looking at the camera, but most will not be, is this okay? Or do you want more looking at the camera? And then I just say, is there anything that you basically that you feel self-conscious about that I need to be aware of? Because this client did say she had some things that she felt self-conscious about. And I try to ask that at the session, but just in case I don't get that chance or it, you know, things get going a little bit too crazy. It's basically the questionnaire is just to set expectations and for me to find out if they have any areas of concern going into the session to make sure that I can accommodate that and maybe even give them some tips beforehand. Like if you feel self-conscious about your arms, don't wear a sleeveless dress. If you feel self-conscious about your stomach, you know, I can guide you in what to wear. So it's just a way to make it basically for every time that something happens with clients where a client might be a little bit unhappy or things go a little bit wrong, instead of dwelling on it, I just use it as a learning opportunity and I use it to improve my business. And so that's what just recently happened. And that's why I added in this just a really short questionnaire for my portrait clients.
So with the client that saw the portfolio after you did the shoot and she thought she was going to have more photos of her looking at the camera. So how do you get around that? How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, it's tricky. She said she loved the photos and of course, it's just one of those differences of opinion. I counted there were like 25 photos looking at the camera. It was probably 25%. And so it was kind of, I think, her realizing a little bit that she should have hired somebody who was a little bit more studio posed glamour maybe than I was. But I think that ultimately we found the photos that she loved. We worked together. I did do a little bit of photoshopping, some that I did complimentary, some that, you know, that she did pay me for. And in the end, I think that we came to a point where we were all happy. The big thing that I did in that case was when she initially wrote and said, you know, she had areas of concern with, you know, body image and different things and not looking at the camera for all the photos. Instead of just getting defensive right away, I took a day to just not respond. And I thought, you know, there's no reason for me to respond right away. And so I took like 24 hours to just kind of let it be instead of saying, I need to defend myself. And then I kind of thought there's no, you know, defending myself outright isn't going to help anybody. And so what I think I just need to do in this case is just recognize her feelings and say, yes, I recognize, you know, how you feel. And just touch on a little bit, like, you know, it is different when you're a couple with a dog and you didn't bring anyone to help with the dog, even though I told you to, you know, we didn't have a helper. It was a windy day. It's just a very different setting than in the studio. But then in the end, I didn't dwell on that. I just said, I understand your feelings. And what I would love is for you to give me as much feedback as you possibly can so that I can make sure I'm doing the best that I can in the future, because this really matters to me. And so I just kind of gave her an opportunity to vent, even if it wasn't what I wanted to hear. And even if I might've had objections, ultimately what I wanted her to do was get that out, because A, I did get something out of it. You know, that's where my questionnaire came from. And B, I didn't want her to feel the need to go vent via review because we had this kind of like misunderstanding off the bat of what was going to be offered. So I just think ultimately, if you have clients who are unhappy for whatever reason, don't spend all your time defending yourself. Really just listen to what they have to say, even though it hurts to just sit there and take it. But I think it's ultimately the thing that you need to do.
I agree 100% here. And I've been through, you know, similar things in the past. One thing, well, I'm curious, did you ask this client in particular what she would want you to do to make things better? Or did you go in and offer a whole lot of freebies? Like what was the next part of the process?
Well, this one was specific because she had specifically asked for some Photoshop retouching. And so we kind of did meet in the middle where I gave her quite a few free edits where normally I only do Photoshopping on prints. So typically they get with me, I actually give them the digital files, but they're edited with basic edits. And usually for most people, that's fine. But to really get that fine detailed editing, like removing those flyaways, a lot of what I do is outside, flyaways happen. Those little tiny hairs that kind of twinkle in the sun, all of those little fine details, I only usually do when someone orders a print, and that's kind of built into my print pricing. So in this case, I did end up doing some free, more fine detailed retouching for her. And I probably did like 16 images that I retouched, which I felt was quite a few. And then she ended up paying me for a few that I ended up doing on top of that when she came back to me.
Nice. So just sticking one more question with this questionnaire, is the idea now, let's say this same client had this questionnaire before this particular shoot, and she gave the indication that she wants a lot of photos looking at the camera, she wants a fair bit of retouching. Is your idea now then to accommodate her or to find another photographer for her?
So I think that I can accommodate. There have been cases where I've actually told people, I don't think I'm the right photographer for you. So if I did come to that and I really felt it, I would not be afraid to refer that person over to somebody else. But if they just want more photos looking at the camera, I mean, that's easy. I can do that. If they just want to be smiling more, I have no problem with that as long as I know upfront that that's the expectation. And I'll say, even if you don't do a questionnaire, one simple thing that you should absolutely do every single session, every single wedding, is ask at the end or somewhere near the end of the session, say, is there anything that we didn't get that you want to get? And I did actually ask this couple that. So I think that helped me in the end because I did add on a few photos that we hadn't gotten yet based on their request. So just say, is there anything that we haven't gotten yet that you think we should get that either, you know, shows your personality or a type of image that you know that you wanted? And so they requested something a little bit more posed at the end. And I think that really helped out. So in general, that's a really good question to ask.
I do exactly the same thing before I leave a wedding. Is there any photos we need to get with someone that we haven't got yet?
That's such a, especially a wedding. And I'll tell you what, not only should you ask if you're a wedding photographer, you shouldn't just ask the couple. I tell you what, you have got to ask the parents the same question. And do not ask that question at the last minute. Leave yourself at least 20 to 30 minutes if you're going to ask the parents, because they'll either say no, or they'll say, yes, I have 30 minutes worth of combinations for you. So it's great because then they're really happy. A lot of times they're paying for the wedding. They get all those combinations that they want. And you're basically, they just feel you've cared about them. They don't feel like they're excluded. It really includes them in that. And they get to get photos with their friends and family. So don't just ask the couple, always ask the parents.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally agree. That's a great idea. Looking at what you do, Ali, I mean, you have your photography business. You've got, it sounds like you have other shooters, and I'd love to get into that in just a second. You've got this app, you've got photographer education, you've got all these different things happening. Financially, which is the best part of your business?
Well, I would say, you know, weddings are probably the main chunk of my business. And in the past, it's been a combination of weddings that I do myself and then weddings that I've done with associates. And I've cut back a little bit on associates just in, you know, always trying to find that balance of how much is too much, how much can I handle as one person. So weddings have always been my main core business. And then products and portraits have usually been tied. So that means selling products both to weddings and to portrait clients, but the income that I get from both portraits and products, I would say it's probably been about the same.
As the weddings?
No, as second in line. So weddings are number one, and then portraits products.
Equal amount of income. Yeah. Cool. And I see that you're also shooting branding. Is that what you put? Do you put products under branding and commercial, or how does that fit into the business?
Yeah. So branding tends to be more editorial, or people just come to me with a specific need, like a photo for their website, a kind of like more untraditional headshot. But I'll tell you what, a week ago, I was in a building. I was called for an editorial magazine cover shoot, just to give you an idea of how wide a variety of things that I do. So I know people say specialized, but I actually really love the variety that I get. I was called by a magazine to do a cover shoot and then photos for the inside story for a cannabis company. It was like Cannabis Business Times. And I had no idea what to expect. And I was like, sure, let's do it. And I walked in. I mean, I was like suited up. It was like a real deal 70-person business, like full security gate, security guard. I had to put on a hairnet and a mask and like booties and all this crazy stuff. And I have never done anything like it. So, I mean, it's across the board. I've photographed like farmers. It's a lot of like, you know, trade magazines, like Farmers for a Farmer trade magazine and Cannabis Business Times. And then just people, small businesses who need little things here and there. I've taken kind of like environmental portraits of scientists in their lab so that they can use that for their marketing or when they get published, you know, headshots in their lab and just stock photography essentially that they can use for their businesses.
Okay. So are you getting or attracting these clients because you've been in business for a long time and people just know you, or are you actually actively going after these jobs?
I'm not actively going off. So that's definitely a smaller part of my business. I tend to just come up highly in Google. So people are finding me through Google when they essentially just search photographers in my area. That's how they're finding me. And actually, one of the reasons that I added in the branding, even added in a page on my website for branding, was one of my brides, a wedding that I just photographed, she had come across my website. She was working in a marketing business looking for a photographer for a client. And she came to my website and it was so wedding oriented that she thought, you know, this doesn't seem like a fit for anything corporate, but I would love to hire her for my wedding photographer when I get engaged. So she put my website aside. And sure enough, when she got engaged, she reached out to me and booked me. But I realized I'm just not presenting myself in a way where they could find me. So I'm in kind of a, my area has about 400,000 people. So we're not a huge city. We're a smaller-ish city. So there certainly are a lot of corporate opportunities. And I think that it's just, you know, for where I am and what I like to do, I like to keep it well-rounded. And so I wanted to put myself out there for those opportunities, especially because I love the fact that I can do them often during the day, during the week. You know, I'll take a weekday project anytime. So yeah, mostly they just find me through Google search. I haven't done a whole lot yet in terms of networking in that area and presenting myself in that way in that area. It really was just a matter of, hey, people are finding me and I have done this stuff over the years. So why don't I market it just a little bit more on my website so that they know that's something that I offer? And I have noticed that since I did that, I've been getting, I don't know, I would probably say I get like one inquiry per week. And not all of them book, but probably about one per week, someone reaches out to me with a specific project in mind.
Nice. I mean, that's great.
Right. Yeah. And they, like I said, they don't all book, but I mean, it's often enough that I see that that area of my business is growing. And I'm sure at some point, you know, you can only do so much at once, but at some point, I'm sure I'll put a little bit more into actually networking with people and kind of presenting that side.
Love it. Love it. And I get the feeling that you maybe not now, because do you outsource your editing or do you do it?
Oh, I've gone back and forth. So I have an outsourcer who I really love, who I know his editing aligns with my style and he does a great job with it. And I use him essentially now just when I need him, when I get really overwhelmed. But I found that I've actually gotten really, really fast at editing. So I feel like I don't necessarily need to outsource that much. So for example, when I did that magazine cover, the CEO of the company who couldn't be there, the cover had to be done like essentially the next day after the shoot because the CEO wasn't available until the very last minute. And I was able to get home, get those images onto my computer and get them basically completely edited and uploaded and over to the magazine within an hour. And so I feel like in general, I just don't need, I've been doing this for so many years. I will give you a huge tip for what has saved me a million hours in terms of editing. I have something called, have you ever heard of Palette app?
Yes. Is that a bit like Motoboto?
I don't know. Is it like a series of knobs and yes. buttons that you can use for editing? Yeah. Okay. Then it is.
Like sliders and knobs and...
Yeah. And the knobs, basically a really simple setup. I just have three knobs and two buttons and those are the main things that I use and those save me so much time. It's the best thing ever. So but the only knobs that I have a little knob that I turn to change tint, temperature, exposure. So I just knob, you know, turn those up. And then I have one button that takes me directly to edit in Photoshop and one button that does lens correction for me because I really like straight lines. So it automatically does a lens correction and makes everything super straight. So it basically crops anything that has straight lines. And with that tool, if I don't have it, I feel completely lost. I feel like it takes me twice as much time to edit. But I mean, just I guess free shout out to any of these. What is yours called, you said?
Motoboto. I don't use it. Motoboto or Motiboto. Okay. Yeah. Motoboto. But it's a similar sort of a thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I couldn't say more great things about having this. I think that it's just completely changed everything about my editing. So I do almost all my editing myself because with Palette app, it's just like zoop, zoop, zoop. Everything's done.
I love it. I love it. So weddings is the biggest part of your business. How many weddings are you shooting a year? Because it sounds like it's limited mainly to summer or the warmer months.
Yeah, I've cut it way back. I used to shoot as many, well, with my full team, we were shooting like 50 at one point. And that was too much because I did that, I think, the year that I had my second daughter. And I was like, what have I done? So now I personally, I think I'm shooting like 15 or 16 myself this year. So it's way more balanced. And I make a point to take a good amount of time off in the summer. So a couple of years ago, my husband and I bought a sailboat to sail on Lake Michigan. We live near Lake Michigan. And I don't know if you can picture Lake Michigan, but Lake Michigan looks like an ocean. Like it's, you can't see the other side. It has crazy waves. It feels, we were just sailing it 11 hours north this weekend. And I, at times, was just like, I'm going to die. It's very intense at times. It's really, you know, like you really live your life out there. But having the sailboat really kind of made, forced me to say, I have to take some time off to enjoy this time with my family.
Absolutely.
And so especially in like late June, July, and August, which are essentially our only really warm months of the year, I try to take at least 2 weeks off per like 2 weekends off per month. And so I try to kind of book, well, and it's actually, I'll tend to book into like mid-November, sometimes into December with some weddings. But in general, I have found that I'm okay with taking on less weddings. And I've learned more about like, what is enough? You know, where do I feel is enough? Do I need to take on 30 weddings to have enough to be happy? And I don't think that I do. And I think that filling in the gaps with things like product sales and editorial work really helps me to find that balance and feel more confident saying no to weddings.
All right, I'm going to come back to that enough in just a second, but I'm just scrolling through your Instagram feed. And is that you sitting on an overturned sailboat?
Oh, that's me. Yeah.
So that's not the boat you're talking about being out in the middle of the ocean.
No. We have a 30-foot boat that has like, you know, a bathroom and a kitchen and like enough space to sleep on. That's the one that we sail in the big scary waves.
Right.
And then I also last year got into racing. So just little, lasers. So I started racing. And as you can see by the overturned sailboat, I'm very good at what I do. No, I tend to come in near the end of the pack, but it's just a blast. And having those outside hobbies, because, you know, for a lot of us, photography was the hobby when we first started, and then photography became the business. And so I really try hard to seek outside hobbies, and sailing, of course, has been a big one. I also do things like I'm teaching myself piano, you know, through this little piano app, and just finding those areas of growth and learning and fun and social connection outside of photography. I think it just really helps you stay balanced, because it's really easy to have photography just eat up your whole life and all of your time. And you need to have those things that are worth dedicating time to and saying no to other projects.
For sure. Well, that brings back then to the comment that you made about, you know, how many weddings do I need to feel that I have enough? When you say enough, are you talking monetary value?
Yeah, ultimately I am saying, okay, this is how much money I need to A, pay the bills, you know, pay for the extras, be happy, invest. This is enough to meet the needs and wants that I have. And so I started my first business when I was 24 and I was doing market research, and everyone I talked to always just cared about how much money our business made. That was kind of what felt like the main value. And that's great. Like your business, you have to make money because you're in business to make money. But I found that I was so eaten up by that mentality that I had to do more, 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 that I was kind of forgetting what mattered in life. And I think that ultimately, the great thing in a photography business is that we can get to a point where, you know, like at the beginning, you kind of feel like you have to say yes to everything because you're trying to grow and grow. But there is a point where you can know how many weddings you need to book or how many portrait sessions you need to book. So I have a spreadsheet that says essentially, you know, I'm going to break out my estimated amount that I need and expect and when I can say no. And I mean, it doesn't always work. Like I've already met my portrait goal for the year and I'm not saying no to portraits, but it gives me permission to do that. You know, so there are a lot where I'm like, if people inquire for a weekend session, I don't feel bad saying no to it because I know that I have met that quota and I can say, okay, I only want to take the ones that really make me happy or really, you know, bring balance, or maybe the ones that are closer in town or the kinds of clients. It makes it easier to say no to those clients who want something that you don't offer. Even though a spreadsheet doesn't sound terribly sexy, I know, but having that spreadsheet where you can say, you know, this is what I'd like to make. I'd like to book this many weddings at this much, or make this much in weddings, this much in portraits. And then you know when you've done it, and then you can make that choice to go higher. You can make that choice that, okay, you know, maybe we're going to invest this much more this year or meet this financial goal or pay off this debt or whatever it looks like by going above and beyond, but you don't have to.
Sure. What's that figure for you?
For me, really, it's only like, I shouldn't say only. I'm happy making like $70,000, like after expense, after everything. So that's
so a net.
Everything. Yeah. And that's enough to be happy and pay for my things. So then I know like above and beyond that, and that includes investing and everything. But beyond that, I now know, okay, so now I'm booking extra. I've met my goal as of, where am I now? Like springtime. And now I know everything else that I'm going to make for the rest of the year above and beyond that is going to go toward paying off our house.
Fantastic.
So, you know, that does give me motivation.
So a couple of quick things, really. So 70,000, I love that you've thrown that figure out there. That is awesome. And it's a net figure. So to me, as a photographer, a working photographer, I would automatically double that. And so you would need a revenue of 140 to net 70. Am I ballpark? Am I around?
I would say more, it depends on the model that you have, right? So when I was doing it with associates, yeah, I had a lot. It had to be about that. With just myself and my, I have some kind of like interesting setup. So do you have a studio? If you have done studio?
Yes.
Work. Okay.
I used to have a studio, but now I'm working from home.
Okay. So same thing, but I don't have a studio now. So that, you know, cuts down a lot of my expenses.
Yes.
And I actually have a barter system. So I take photos for a local florist and then I can use her office, which is perfectly set up because she meets with wedding clients too. And it's really great cross promotion. So that cuts down a lot of my expenses. And also I'm not investing as much as in equipment as I used to. So I kind of break down my expenses. I think I figured this year that my expenses, not including taxes, my just like business expenses, is this wrong? I'm going to give you the wrong number. I think they were only like $10,000 to $15,000, not including people. So I kind of wrap those in because each wedding where I have to hire a person, I kind of like build that into the pricing. So I don't include that in my spreadsheet, but my expenses beyond associates and second photographers was only, I think it's only like 10, I won't even say $10,000 to $12,000 I've been able to get it.
Is that including like printing and albums and frames and mats?
Good point. No. Okay. Right. Okay. So I do break out expenses differently because the way like 17 hats, I do use 17 hats for accounting. And no, you're right. Okay. So I'm obviously wrong in line. The reason, because I kind of include all my print sales are not included in that base number of like, all of those are kind of the bonus money. So everything that I make is based on selling the photo session of the wedding and then print sales are everything above that.
Right.
So when I go to do my math, I start out saying, I want to make this much in session fees, not including prints. And then I take my expenses out of that. And then, so every time I sell a print, since my cost of goods sold are already included in that print. So I kind of, I guess, I don't hope I'm not complicating this too much.
I think I can see what you're doing. So any sales above and beyond the session fees are a bonus.
Yes, because I am not doing a traditional in-person model where maybe an in-person sales photographer would include products kind of as like they need to sell products in order to meet their financial goals. That's like a big part of the session.
Absolutely.
I actually don't do that. I actually do give digital files. So it's a simpler accounting way for me to do it. So I actually give the digital files and that's in my base. Like this is enough. This is what I want to make. And everything that I sell, I still then still do sell products on top of that. And that for me is all bonus money. So yeah, you're right. I don't include that in my expenses. My expenses, I'm talking about things like if I do need new equipment, equipment repair, marketing, computer, internet services, my accountant, what else am I missing? Just all of those things that kind of go into your monthly expenses, my online calendar subscription, just things like that. That comes out to like probably $10,000 to $12,000. And then cost of goods sold come out of the product sales themselves.
Got it. Okay. You have got me so intrigued with what you just said about sales and selling and giving digital files. I'm going to come straight back to that because that's, I mean, really, that's why I contacted you in the first place to do this interview. Right? But you said something there. You said that you've already reached your goal for this year. So are you working like 1st of July to 30 June calendar year? Or have you met your goals for the year, the calendar year already in June?
I'm talking about booked. So I have booked.
Okay. Right.
And I'm talking portraits too. So weddings, of course, you know, those are always booked about a year in advance anyway. But portraits, I've met my portrait goal. Yes, because this is sort of a weird random thing. My portrait goal is, like I said, smaller than my wedding goal. And so I figured out my portrait goal for the whole year, figuring that in this area, you tend to get, you know, springtime, summer tends to get a little bit less, but still some going on. And then fall is the time when we get slammed. And I had just kind of randomly, I tapped into a market, not by accident, it was very intentional, but it was a market that didn't necessarily exist before. And that is college seniors. And so I all of a sudden had just, I was like a completely full calendar of unexpected college seniors who were booking sessions as they were graduating this spring. And so through that, I was basically able to meet what I thought was going to take me through fall to book. So That's what I mean when I say some portrait sessions are booked into like summer and fall, but basically my spring, I just had a really good spring because of college seniors.
So good. So you've met your booking goals already for this whole calendar year, and it's only June. That's unreal. Fantastic. All right. Let me ask you about sales. So
premium members of PhotoBizX hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
This has been amazing, Ellie. Do you teach this stuff to other photographers if they want to learn from you?
I do. So I have a course through designaglow.com. Right now, it's just the first one. So if you go to designaglow.com and then you go to the education tab, it's virtual product sales. There's one for wedding photographers and there's one for portrait photographers. And the difference is just the style guide is set up for wedding photographers versus portrait photographers. And the pricing is a little bit different. So I do offer different pricing models for if you do want to not include digital files, you know, so that you have that model versus including digital files. Because like I said, if you include the digital files, you are ultimately going to sell less products than if you don't. But if you're charging enough for the session itself, that's okay. So it's a balance. It's finding the balance that you want in terms of how much you're making. And it's really just like where that money's coming from. You know, is it coming from digitals? Is it coming from prints? But ultimately, I found it kind of evened itself out.
Cool. All right, that's awesome. All right, I'm going to add links to that, obviously, in the show notes to accompany this interview. I'll also add links to your beautiful website, your Instagram account, which I love, and your podcast. But if you were going to pick one place for the listener to learn more about you and follow you, see what you're up to, learn more from you, where should they go?
I think the podcast, since we have a photographer audience here, photofieldnotes.com is really the place that I direct people when they have questions about photography. So the Photo Field Notes podcast also covers, you know, a lot about the business side of photography and the things that I've learned. And I think everything links off from there.
Fantastic. Ali, you have been amazing. Thank you so much. It's just been wonderful to talk to you. And thank you for being so open and sharing so much about you and your business and the way you do things. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you. Sure thing.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Ali as much as I did. Ali, if you're listening, again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing everything you did. I love the way you approach business, your business, the way you approach sales, and just how successful you are. So again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing what you did. For you, the listener, I hope you did get as much from Ali as I did. I'd love to hear about your takeaways. Was there one thing that she shared that you thought, yes, absolutely, I'm going to be implementing that into my business? If there is, let me know. And you can do that inside the comments area, which you'll find at the bottom of the show notes. And this week, the show notes are at photobizx.com/321. And in those show notes, I've got links to anything and everything that Ali mentioned. I've got some examples of her beautiful work. You'll see her framed artwork. And again, you've got that comments area at the very bottom as well. And of course, if you have a follow-up question for Ali, by all means, post those into the comments area as well. I know that Ali would be happy to come back and answer those. And as usual, if you are a premium member, I'll be adding Ali into the members Facebook group, so you'll have extra access to her there. And we can chat about your takeaways in the group as well.
It's shout out time.
I've got two big shout outs for today's episode. And the first one was left on the PhotoBizX Facebook page by Atlanta wedding photographer Derek Shane in the USA. And he is returning to business after stepping away for a couple of years. He had a photography business for over a decade, had a break. He's coming back into and starting up his new brand and his new market of photography. And he's discovered the Photo BizX podcast and straight off went and left a review because he's really enjoying what he's getting. He's getting great value out of the membership. And he says the podcast membership has been a priceless investment. So, Derek, thank you so much, mate, for taking the time to leave your rating and review in Facebook. It's a massive help to me. And yeah, mate, I'm looking forward to talking more with you inside the group and following your progress as you kickstart your new business. The second big shout out goes to Northern California wedding photographer Yana Johnston, who's based in the United States. And I absolutely love this review that Yana left in iTunes. She says she's been a listener to the podcast for a couple of months now, and she finally upgraded to the premium membership. She said that she was hesitant at first, but not because of the cost, because of the time constraints, because she has a full-time job and photography is just her side gig. She goes on to say the membership is 100% worth every penny, and she's consistently blown away by the phenomenal content that the guests on the podcast share. She says she's learned so much, and more than anything else, she wanted to say thanks to me for the inspiration the podcast gives her. And she also says that she can hear the smile on my face during the interviews and really appreciates what she's learned from me and the guests. So that's just awesome. She does go on to say some other really nice things about me. I'm not going to read those out now, but Yana, from the bottom of my heart, you really have made my week with your comments, and warmed my heart at the same time. I love what you've had to say, and it's so true. You know, I really do have a smile on my face while I'm recording the interviews that I do. I love that I get to do this. Nothing makes me happier than seeing a premium member succeed with their business, get to where they want to with their photography, which is generally, you know, making great money from their work. So if you can do that, if other premium members can do that as a result of the podcast and my help, then yeah, that's my mission, and that's what makes me happy. So again, Yana, thank you so much for leaving your rating and review in iTunes. It's a massive help, but more than anything, I'm rapt that you're happy with the way things are going and with your membership. So thank you.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
I've got two announcements just before we close out today's show. The first one is about Smart Albums. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Smart Albums, it's album design software. It's the software that I use in my business. It's amazing. If you haven't used Smart Albums, I don't actually know if there's a trial available. I think there is. But yeah, look, if you don't know anything, if you haven't used the software or you are struggling with your design software for wedding or portrait albums, this tool is incredible. It's you would never use anything else once you've used it. In addition to all that massive promotion for Smart Albums, the program, there's an update coming out for 2019. It's just about to be released. There's a 25% discount between July 31st and August 6th with the release of the new version. They've done a few things. They've got a simplified way to design single and double page albums. Sorry, that was a bit misleading. They've simplified the way to design single and double page spreads in your album design. They've also added more tonal adjustment controls to the images on your page, so you can, you know, make black and whites with a click of a button. They've also got page mirroring now, which will be a big help. And they've also got an improved type tool. So all that's part of the new version of Smart Albums, which is being released next week. I've got a link inside the show notes. It's a long link, so the easiest place to get that is inside the show notes. But it will get you 25% off if you're looking at updating or grabbing this version of Smart Albums. So again, the show notes are at photobizx.com/321. And just to let you know, that link won't work until July 31st. So if you go and click on it, you're going to get a 404 message until after or on July 31st. And you can find more details about the improvements to this version of Smart Albums on the Pixaloo website. And the last announcement was or is about the Schooled Photography course by Alina Blair. So you may remember if you caught that interview or that episode a few weeks ago, episode 319, I dived deep into Alina's Schooled or Fine Art School Portraiture course. Look, it was a really well-received interview. I really believe passionately this is a fantastic addition, or would be a fantastic addition to anyone looking to add another genre of photography to their business, looking to increase profits or turnover revenue, particularly if they have quiet periods throughout the year. This course is super cheap. Like, it's, to me, it's so underpriced for the value that Alina gives in regards to the information in this course. But on top of all that, there's a 20% discount for PhotoBizX listeners. If you grab the course before the end of the month, so July 2019, you need to buy it before the end of the month if you want to save that 20%. The promo code to use is schooled_photobiz. So there's no X, it's schooled_photobiz. Again, I've got links to this inside the show notes for today's episode. That'll get you 20% off. The other thing I wanted to let you know, if you are a premium member, you get that 20% off, but you also get an additional 30% rebate from me. I'm going to be passing that back to you if you purchase the course. So you can get that 30% off whether or not you buy it before or after the end of the month. But if you do purchase the course before the end of July, you get that additional 20% off. So for me to give you that 30% rebate, what I need you to do is email me a copy of your receipt. This is if you're a premium member only. I'm going to give you a 30% rebate if you want this course. Email me the receipt for the course if you're a premium member, and you need to include your PayPal email address so I can give you that 30% rebate. I've done this for, I don't know, must be 24 premium members so far. So if you want to make use of this, get onto it before the end of the month. And if you haven't heard that interview and you want to know exactly what I'm talking about, episode 319 is where you can get all that information. Alrighty, that is it for this episode of the week. I'm going to wrap things up now. Everyone should be back from shopping soon. I think it was probably a good idea that I didn't go shopping. I would have just spent a lot of money that I didn't need to. I'm sitting here, I'm in the room in the hotel here at Andorra, up in a little place where a town called Ordino. I'm looking out my window here, like I'm flanked by a huge mountain covered in trees, and then there's little valleys, there's clouds filling the valleys, I can see the peaks of mountains. It's just fantastic, just beautiful. If you want to see some of the things that I'm seeing and experiencing, especially if you don't mind bike riders, cycling and bike riding in the photos, jump over to Instagram and you can follow along with some of the things that I'm experiencing on this trip. Next week, I'm off to Girona in Spain. And following that, Linda's going to be joining me and we're going to be taking a road trip over to Portugal, which should be fun. I want to show her some of the places I've seen and experienced on these cycling trips that I've been doing, and we'll find some new places of our own as well. Following that, we're going to be heading up to the UK and Scotland. So there will be a PhotoBizX get together in London. I'll have some more details about that. I think Linda will be posting something along with Darren Lehane, who we'll be staying with, about the London catch up. Just like we did last time. So it'll be late afternoon into the evening sort of a thing. So if you're a London or UK-based photographer, listener, love to catch up with you there if you can make that. And following that, we'll be heading up to see Linda's family in Scotland, and we'll have a catch-up in Edinburgh, just like we did last year. So hopefully if you are Scottish-based and listen to the podcast, we can catch up in Edinburgh on that afternoon, that evening as well. But again, I'll have more details posted first inside the members Facebook group, and then I'll let you know if you're listening to the free podcast once I have those things finalized. All right, I hope you have an amazing week, and might talk to you on Instagram, via email, inside the members Facebook group, or somewhere else. Have a great week. I'll chat to you soon. Bye for now.
That's all for this episode. If you've enjoyed the interview, head to the show notes at photobizx.com to find more information, to leave a comment, or to share your thoughts. Adios from Andorra, and talk to you next week.